The Prentice Alta Heating and Air Coach's Corner from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and GoPrimeTimeSports.com.
And we're back here at the Cedar Bucket Restaurant. Philip Shadolin, the head coach of the Blackman Blaze, joins us. Victorious 20-16 win, big win over Riverdale last night. And I have no notes, Coach. I'm just tearing them off. I don't have any. Are you fresh from the 5K run? Did you just run in today? Or?
Well, no, I was running a half marathon. I got that done really quick, about an hour and 20, 30 minutes. And took me a drink of water, and I'm ready to go.
Ready to go? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'd be in the hospital right now.
Me too. Big win last night. And you know, it's everybody looks for that the elusive, you know, sixth win, trying to get to the playoffs. But you really needed that win because, you know, you've got a fairly tough schedule to finish out with. Yeah. You know, and you've got Brentwood, and then you've got what, Laverne, I think, that you never know. I mean, they can play well at times, but. At halftime, you go in the locker room. It was such a weird game. The first half was just weird. Not in terms of – I think both teams play hard is what I was trying to get to you. And I think it was a hard-fought first half.
Absolutely. Really hard-fought first half. And you talk about six wins. But before you can get six wins, you got to get five wins. You know, and that's where we were last night. We're 4-3, and obviously playing a rival game and all, and district implications. But none of that stuff was really important. The fact was we needed to get win number five. Because you can't win six if you don't win five first. So that was huge, and the fact that our kids played extremely hard, and so did theirs. But in the first half, yeah, neither one of us, I think, as Ron would probably tell you too, and probably did tell you this morning on the radio, that neither one of our offenses executed like we wanted to. We struggled blocking their front, and they certainly struggled blocking our front. It was a defensive battle, kind of a baseball score. You know, now they're in baseball playoffs here. It's kind of a baseball score, 3-2. I don't think I've ever been a part of that in all the years I've coached. I don't think. We did win one game at Smyrna one time, 3-0, I think. But I mean, that's just, you know, you just don't normally have those kind of games. And thought both teams played hard. Both teams really wanted to win. You know, fortunately for us, we just kept battling and found a way to, you know, end up winning.
You're down 2-0 for most of the first half, and Brian did mention it was a baseball score.
They had a little hit and run call right there, and got a couple runs in.
And so the safety, but you got to be you had to be proud of your defense in the first half. And Riverdale would make some runs, and you would shut down big play or stopping them on a third and something. You know, it was that way all night. It seemed like even toward the end of the game when it was a big fourth and one, and they didn't make it. Yeah. So there were big plays all night, and it was that kind of game, especially in the second half, and it seesawed a little bit. But looking at it going into halftime, what are your thoughts going in? You're up 3-2, and when you get ready to talk to the troops,
number one, we just got to keep playing the game. You know, good. There's going to be swings. Good and bad things are going to happen within the course of a ball game, and you got to persevere. You got to keep fighting. You know, you can't get too high, can't get too low, because there's going to be swings of momentum throughout the game, and it's up to us to play every play. And you knew, you know, early on, you kind of knew before the game ever started, obviously, that it was going to come down to a few plays here and there. It always does. But in this kind of game, when two teams are pretty well evenly matched, you know it's going to come down to a big play here, a big play there, a special teams play, which we've worked really hard all week on special teams over the last 2 weeks, knowing that it could come down to a special team play. And you just got to keep battling through it. And, you know, the whole first half we played from on our side of the field, it seemed like we never got field position. Some of that was the fact of how we kicked the ball, and, you know, and some of that's my fault, because we don't want to kick it deep because we can't get it into the end zone. And so we want to pooch it, and our pooches end up being way short and not where it's supposed to be. So even when we had a chance to flip the field, we didn't flip the field. And so when they'd get a first down or whatever, and then all of a sudden they'd punt it back to us and we'd get the ball on 10 again or whatever. So I felt like the whole first half we played on our end of the field. And then we were able to finally mount a drive, actually two consecutive drives there in the second quarter. One ended in an interception, and one ended in a field goal attempt that we kicked there with whatever it was, you know, 30 seconds left, 20 seconds left in the half, whatever. But it was just one of those games where you knew it was going to come down to a mistake here, a mistake there, a big play, a special teams play. And that's what we told our kids. It's, you know, it's going to be a gut check. It's going to be a heart check. And anything worth having, anything worth, if you're going to win, it's going to be hard. You know, it's not ever going to be easy. And so something bad happened to us there early in the second half, and we were able to keep responding. So I was just proud of the fight that our kids showed and the perseverance. And they've been through quite a bit this year with a couple of tough defeats, and we're able to persevere and keep on fighting and not really doubt one another.
I think even the crowd, Coach, during the first half, just kept waiting for, okay, something's going to happen. Somebody's going to spring one, you know. And it really didn't happen until, really, Riverdale had taken a lead. And then Cole Knotgrass returns a kickoff. And I knew that young man was strong and a strong runner. But I didn't know he had the burst of speed that he showed on that run.
He doesn't look like he could run. I mean, because he's a kind of a short kid, you know,
stocky
kid. He can run.
Yeah.
He's probably the fourth or fifth fastest kid on our team. He runs track, for, you know, and I happen to be the track coach, too. He runs track for us, too. He can run. I mean, not run a little. He can really run. And he is strong, exceptionally strong. So he's a power runner with speed. And we worked really hard on return this week because we thought we had a chance to spring one. We tweaked our blocking scheme there. Coach Mack, as a special teams coordinator, did a really good job with that. We tweaked our scheme, and when he kicked it to Cole, you kind of knew, or at least I kind of knew based on what we were trying to accomplish there, that we had a chance. From the time he touched the ball, you could see it, that we had a chance to go. And you know, you always worry about a kicker making the tackle or something on the 50. He was able to outrun the kicker down the side, you know, swing it to the sideline and outrun everybody. Huge play. And I thought special teams played a huge part in our success last night, even though they made some plays on special teams too. We thought going in, we told our kids we had to win a special teams war. I mean, we had to do something positive on special teams. And we were able to do that. Of course, they came back and did something positive with a kick return of their own down to our 2 or 3 yard line. So, but we kicked some field goals last night. We returned a kickoff for a touchdown. You know, did some good things on our special teams. Still didn't function everything that we wanted to do or do everything we wanted to do, but we were able to win that part, and that kickoff was a huge response to them taking a 10-3 lead right after half. So we needed that.
Going back to defense a little bit too, and watching the game, I don't know that there have been many Riverdale teams that have gotten less than 200 yards in total offense, and that's got to be a credit to your defense. But and you and I talked off air, your secondary was just – lights out, I thought, especially in deep coverage. The couple of times that they took a shot at it, your guys were right there and had a turnover as a result of one of them. I think that's maybe what some maturity or whatever the case may be, but you had the right coverage at the right time, I'll put it that way.
I thought our kids stayed disciplined, and I think against what they do, with all the motions and all the running the ball and the jet sweeps and the sally, all the things that they do, you know, you got to have great eye discipline. You got to read your keys. If you get caught up in looking in the backfield and seeing all those things, you're going to be out of position. Our kids stayed disciplined. I thought Coach Williams, our defensive coordinator, and the entire staff did a really good job with our kids of training them through the week and a half that we had, you know, because we had a couple of days of during fall break. We got to practice also. And our kids responded by being disciplined and believing in what we were doing. And, you know, we weren't very complicated. It wasn't anything, you know, we didn't put something new in for Riverdale, you know, none of those kind of things. It was doing what we do and getting disciplined and being physical. And I thought our defense played lights out. I mean, I've been coaching for a long time and played against Ron when he was at Hillsboro and the years he's been here at Riverdale, obviously. We always have seemed to give up a big play against him, whether it's in the run game, you know, whether it's a play action pass and throwing over the top. And last night we didn't give up that big play, that easy score. And I thought by doing that we were able to end up keeping them out of the end zone for the most part and do some good things.
Defensively, that 4th-and-1 was, I thought, probably the biggest key when Riverdale was driving the ball a little bit. At the end of the game. They had that 4th-and-1, and they called an in-around or whatever.
Jet sweep.
Yeah, and I always want to pick your brain. Were you expecting that, or was that just because the lateral pursuit on that play was great? And I don't know whether y'all had read that or saw something.
Just read our keys, but That had been, it seemed like in the second half, that was their most successful play, you know, either jet sweep or Sally, which is a little reverse by wing. So we kind of thought that may be coming, but we just called our, you got to call your base back. There's so many things that and Ron does such a good job with his offense. And not being able, I mean, you can't predict what Ron's going to call. He don't have tons of tendencies. I mean, obviously he likes to run the football, but you don't know which one's coming, which way it's going. So Mason Bear, it looked like when the play started, when the ball was handed off on the jet, it looked like he was going to get a first down. And our corner came up, and Riverdale had some guys pulling out there. He came up and was able to submarine all of it and kind of blow it up. Where the kid couldn't really turn up to get the yard that he needed. And then we had such great pursuit. The kid had to keep running laterally. We had guys get there and knock him backwards, not let him fall forward. So when the play started, it looked like first down. And then Mason Bear, senior corner, who played really good defense last night, also made a big catch for us on offense. But he came up and did a heck of a job of just taking it all out, and then our pursuit was able to get there. So just one of those effort plays. And, you know, you try to tell your kids that you never know when that big play, you know, when one of those four or five big plays are going to come. But when it does, you have to be ready to make the play, you know, so you got to play every play like it's a big play. And last night, that ended up being a gigantic play, obviously, because we were able to get the ball with a couple minutes left, get a first down, and run the clock out. So proud of so many of those senior kids that when things go bad and you lose to Oakland at the end and you lose to Bradley Central at the end, and that's back-to-back weeks, and you know, when you can come out and, you know, be negative in practice and all those things that go through your mind when you have two tough defeats, our seniors have chosen to just come out and work, you know, and be positive and stay together and not blame this one and that one and the other one. And if you keep working hard, you know, maybe good things will happen. You know, but I told them on Monday, I think, that, you know, we can't think that we're owed one because we've had a couple tough defeats. I mean, if you're going to win a game like that, you got to go take the game. You got to go do it. You know, nobody's going to give it to you. You know, the ball's not going to bounce special for you this week because it bounced bad last week. I mean, you know, sometimes people think that, well, you know, we're owed one. You know, we had bad things happen against Oakland, bad things happen against Bradley Central, officials this, officials that. I mean, you got to go. If you're going to win one of those games, you got to go win it. It's not going to be given to you. And you can't expect somebody to give you something because you had bad luck for 2 weeks. That doesn't work that way. You know, bottom line is, you know, we didn't win those 2 games. We didn't make enough plays to win them. Those other 2 teams deserve to win the game. We got to go take a game, and nobody's going to give it to you. And it's done by hard work. And our kids bought into that. You know, even when bad things happened last night, and, you know, with a pick or with their kickoff return to the 2 or, you know, whatever, the safety when we snapped it over the punt. Said, I mean, we just kept fighting, and we went and found a way to win instead of looking for some, you know, let's blame somebody else, let's blame the official, or let's blame this, or let's blame. We didn't do any of that. We just continued to persevere, do what we're supposed to do, stay together, unite, believe in what you're doing on offense and defense, and buy into what you're being told. We did those things and found a way to win a game last night, and I'm proud of them.
Yeah, Philip Shadoin's our guest here on the Prentice Austin Peeing Air Coach's Corner. I thought another play that was huge was the Knotgrass run when you were trying to run the clock and getting that first down. We don't really give a lot of credit for those things. I always look for those things, though, when we're watching a ball game. Who makes the play? Who makes the block when you got to have that first down? That's a game winner. You know, that was as big a play, along with the Lily pass from Smotherman. I'll talk about that before I let you go. But that's the biggest play. That's as big a play as any there.
Absolutely. It's 2nd and 8. They call timeout. We run no play. They jump off sides, but we got a receiver move, so we called against us. We could have went either way. I mean, so now instead of 2nd and 8, where I'm going to hand the ball to Antonio, which was absolutely a devastating player in the fourth quarter. I mean, that kid on both sides of the ball played unbelievable. You know, we can't play him all the time at fullback because he's also our Mike linebacker, and I think it hurts you if you play him all the time at fullback and all the time at Mike linebacker. I don't know if that's humanly possible at times to do that. So, but in the second half, we played him more in the backfield on offense too. Devastating blocker, running the ball with him. I mean, he's going to fall forward. I mean, you know, he's going to fall forward. So it's 2nd and 8, goes to 2nd and 13. You know, so I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone at that point, I guess, because you need one first down basically to win the football game, and you know that. So we run the ball off tackle to Cole. Antonio makes a good block. Offensive line comes off the ball, kind of puts a hat on a hat, and Cole finishes a run. I mean, which he's a good finisher, and you've seen us play enough this year to know he's going to finish runs. And he finished a run, able to get a first down there, and, you know, ball game's over. And so We had so many kids step up last night, and we'll talk about Chris Lidd and some things he did late in the game for us too. But we had so many kids step up last night. But certainly I want to give a lot of credit to Antonio Allen. The kids stepped up and played. But our defensive line, unbelievable. Austin Singleton, K.J. Wilkerson, J.J. Lord, Marvell Ridley, who played on top of tight end all along. Just got after it now. I mean, just flat got after it. Our secondary was phenomenal. Didn't give up a big play. Was in great coverage all night long. Made them try to dink and dunk and throw it underneath instead of giving up the big one. And thought they did a good job on rallying to those little short throws also. And but at the end, Cole Knotgrass obviously made huge runs for us. Even though his yardage don't look all that impressive, his yardage was hard-earned and was falling forward and was finishing runs. Lee Mathers came in, and, of course, he played every snap of defense, came in and gave us some big runs also, 8 yards, 10 yards, 2 yards here. So many kids stepped up and persevered. Chase Motherman got hurt early in the first quarter, got turfed out. No, we didn't say anything about that.
Nobody knows
the difference, but I did. And part of our thing was we're going to run our quarterback some, and we still did a little bit, but we couldn't do a lot of things we wanted to do because – he was struggling. He fought through it. I mean, what a tough kid. I mean, if anybody's ever heard Turtle, that mug hurts now.
And I wanted to mention the fact, he'd not had one of his, what you would say, his best games. He had a couple, some picks. But that pass to Lilly, I mean, after all of that, and you talk about fighting adversity, he's got to be the poster child for fighting adversity and coming through in the clutch when you needed it.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, that's a big game. Here's a kid that's always wanted to probably be in that game. He's been a backup for us at quarterback. We've had him play weak safety, free safety. I mean, he's played lots of positions for us this year. And you're in that game now. And our kids, I mean, we didn't talk about it, but our kids knew it was a game-changing kind of game. I mean, a season-changing kind of game. We needed to win the game. And not to mention we wanted to win the game. I mean, it's a rival, blah, blah, blah. But he's in the game now. And then on top of all those things, he knows what our plan is. He knows we're going to run more quarterback runs, and he knows what our plan is. And in the first quarter, he has turf toe, and so you got to fight through that mentally. And then we make a couple bad throws, even though the one to Q in the end zone wasn't a terrible throw. I mean, we got to deflect that ball. They kind of pushed us a little bit. We got to be, Q's such a big physical kid. I expect him to go up and either catch the ball or to knock it down. I certainly don't expect that throw to be intercepted, so I don't really blame Chase on that throw. But you got to persevere through bad things happening and through pain and all that kind of stuff. And to come back at the end of the game, and we can talk about the last throw. We called a tunnel screen, and Chris Liddy went for, 25 yards to score. But really a bigger throw than that was 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 8. We ran a slant to their sideline to Chris Liddy. I mean, hits him in stride in between the 8 and the 1, and we get 15 for a first down. I mean, without that completion, the other completion to win the game, to score, never happens. So he persevered through some pain. He persevered through some tough things happening throughout the game, getting banged on a whole bunch, getting hit on, all those things. And when it came to money time at the end, when you're going to get paid, if you're going to get paid or not, and he did enough to get the ball where it needed to be. And they had decided at the end of the game they're just going to come get us. They're just going to blitz us and, make him throw, get it out of his hands right now. And we were able to hit one on a little tunnel screen that was able to walk in. And, Chris Lilly, another kid that, we throw the ball to Q a whole bunch because Q's 6'4 and weighs 200 pounds and it's hard to tackle him. But Chris Lilly made some gigantic plays for us last night and especially late in the game. Been a punt returner for us all year long. And give that kid credit. He's another kid that's, been behind somebody really good at receiver, his whole career. And, last year got some reps, he came in some. But now he's the kid that we expect to be the guy. And last night he hit his opportunity, and he was ready to take advantage of that.
We go now to Brentwood. You're still looking for 6 wins. You've got Brentwood and Laverne and Brentwood. You read the hype, and that's a game that you may not be favored in.
We won't be.
I personally believe that game's going to be a really good ball game. But is this a win that can springboard you if it is or you just still got to take it a game at a time and they're the next one?
It's a game at a time. I said this last night to our coaches or to a couple of coaches. I don't think I said it in our staff meeting, but you got to handle the adversity of winning, the same as you do the adversity of losing. You know, now, you know, we beat Riverdale. You know, that was a great game. It was fun, all those kind of things, you know. I mean, that's a rivalry game for both our schools. So it's nice to win that, but it's not any more important to win it next week.
Yeah.
You know, and just like when we lost those two tight games, I mean, that was just one game. That didn't ruin your season, didn't make your season, didn't do anything. It was just one game. And, you know, we're playing the number three or four ranked team, whatever they are in the state. Nobody's played them close. I don't think. I think Centennial played them 45-35, but I think that was a little misleading on. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was. I think it was always a two or three score game, pretty much the entire game. So nobody's played those guys close. They run wing tee. They're shoe to shoe. They're going to run it downhill. They're going to play act pass and throw it on top of you, over top of you, and you know, a really good football team. I mean, a really good football team. We've been working this morning and as a staff up at the. You know, watching video already, and we got to celebrate the Riverdale win for about 20 minutes last night. No, not really. We got, you know, we just work a little bit this morning to put all that stuff in the computer, but then we'll be off the rest of the day and through church tomorrow, and then we'll come meet tomorrow afternoon. But they're a good football team. I mean, so, yes, it can, back to your question, I've kind of talked around the world there, it can springboard to good things, but only if you handle it correctly. I mean, only if you handle it, hey, this is another week, we got to continue to get better, we've got to improve. We made tons of mistakes last night on both sides of the ball, even though we battled and fought and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's just like when you lose. You make tons of good plays in the course of a game when you lose, but yet you didn't make the one to win. Last night we made you know, tons of good plays, tons of bad plays. We got to correct the bad ones. We got to get better. And if our kids come with that attitude, which I have no doubt that they will, then we'll have an opportunity to upset somebody next week. We got Octavius Mathers coming in next week because they're off. Ole Miss is off. And we're going
to suit him up.
Well, we are. But no, he's coming in. We're going to do a little something special for him.
Awesome.
So I'd like for everybody to come out and support him. We're going to do something a little special for him. You know, it's going to be another great game, man. I mean, you know, you love playing. That's a great thing about playing. And I know I'm happier today than I was the last time when we played Oakland, you know, or whatever. But that's a great thing about playing in this district, man. What a fun game. When I retire, I'm still going to watch these ball games in this county.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those days. That's what high school football is about, man. It's just kids competing, and it's clean. You know, nobody's cheaping anybody, even though, you know, they don't like each other on the field. I mean, a lot of them are friends off the field. You know, just kids battling and fighting you know, coaching against somebody like Ron and his staff who does such a great job. That's just fun for all of us. And it's great to be in that environment for these kids. And it was a memory maker last night. You know, I mean –
It really is about memories. I mean, if you really put it in perspective.
If you put it in perspective of life,
yeah.
I mean, that's a game you remember.
Yeah. Chase Smotherman will always remember.
Absolutely. I mean, I guarantee you the Oakland game was a game they'll remember forever, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll remember being on a one-yard line and not scoring, and Oakland will remember that a whole lot better than we'll remember it because they won. But that's what this district is about. I mean, it's about pure high school football and that great emotion that kids can play with, and it's fun to be able to be a part of all that, and I think we're blessed in this county to get to see those kind of games every time we have district matchups in our county, and last night was certainly one of those great environments and fun to play in, and you know, for the kids, and fun for the fans to watch, and fun for the coaches to coach.
Congratulations on the win, and Coach, we will be there at Blackman on Friday night, and have a good crowd. That's going to be a nice thing for Octavia. So we'll try to plug that this week as we always do. And hope you have a good crowd. And of course, we hope you win. That's
absolutely
the biggest thing.
That'd be big. Let's get our sixth win next week. And it's the next one. It's a huge game. It's more important than the Riverdale game was now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the next one, and it gets us to six. It guarantees that playoff berth, and then it puts us in position to go try to win a seventh. Then we want to win seven.
Yeah.
But you can't win seven before you win six. So let's go win six.
Let's don't take a breath until we get there. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. There you go. Coach Phillip Shadowins, the head coach of the Blackman Blaze. When we come back, Brian Baird will be talking to Greg Wyant, the 7-AAA champs. They clinched it late yesterday, and he'll be our guest here on the Prentice Office of Pig and Air Coach's Corner from the Cedar Bucket Restaurant.